You're listening to the Clutter Fairy Weekly, a weekly webcast and podcast brought to you by the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas. If you'd like to participate in one of our live webcasts, please visit cfhou.com/weekly. You'll find a calendar of upcoming webcasts, as well as instructions for joining the Zoom meeting via the app or by phone. We'd love to see you. That URL again is cfhou.com/weekly. Now here's the weekly episode. Enjoy!
Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. This is the Clutter Fairy Weekly for March 19th, 2024. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, certified professional organizer and owner of the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is the webcast and podcast that digs deep into the clutter that piles up between you and the life that you want to be living. We explore the habits and behaviors that lead to clutter. We suggest strategies to slow the accumulation, reduce the collection, and comfortably manage the stuff we decide to keep.
If you're new to our Zoom meeting, we want to let you know that you can share your comments and questions via the chat feature, and I'll try to make sure Gail addresses them before we move on to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question yourself via audio or video. And we are streaming the webcast live on Facebook, so you can share your questions and comments there, and I'll relay them to Gail. We're going to start, as we usually do, by talking about last week's weekly tittle, which was called The First Pass. The assignment was to make a little progress on your most problematic paper category. Let's hear from our participants in Zoom and on Facebook. Who made a keep toss pass through a paper pile this week? Please let us know in the comments. YouTube viewer Ingmari didn't exactly report on the tittle, but she was on topic enough with her comment about her systems for managing paper, so we wanted to share it. Ingmari writes, I have an easy system to keep up with paper. Two categories are unresolved, photos and genealogy. I will deal with them later. My daily / weekly / annual system is based on KonMari, the Clutterbug, and the Minimalist Mom. I deal with incoming physical papers daily, recycling to do, to pay, or reference / to be decided. I empty my purse daily and put all receipts there. I think when she says there, she means into the system. Max a few minutes daily. I have one admin day weekly. I pay what needs to be paid. Most bills are digital through my internet bank. The bank files, and I don't print paper copies. The paper bills I put in a file for all bills paid this year. In that file, I also put receipts for larger items, such as electronics. I update my calendar with dates to keep, etc. I keep tickets, flyers, etc. for upcoming events in one file. I look through reference materials to see if they are still relevant, and I trash everything I don't need to keep. Annually, I transfer the previous year's paid bills to another container where I sort into insurance, utilities, household, art, etc. Rather large categories. I have two annual containers, forever and temporary.
Hey, Mari totally has got her daily processing of paper under control, which is so awesome. She has a system in place to deal with all of the new incoming paper. She's recognized what her backlog project is, those photos and genealogy materials that she talked about, each of which are going to require their own special handling process separately. She's established several daily habits and routines to keep the paper under control. And she set aside a weekly day to pay the bills, as well as routines for circling back to review the other paper that she keeps for a period of time. I venture to say that paper is not a problem in her house, and she can find what she needs very quickly. It's a great system that works for her, and it's a distillation. I find it fascinating. It's a distillation of three different people's recommendations. So she's plucked out what works for her out of everybody and made her own collection of processing, which is great. Congrats to you for getting there, and thanks for sharing your system with us. I'm sure it's going to be helpful for the rest of the viewers and listeners today. The long paragraph of things that she's doing to handle it just shows you how much processing paper needs and how many systems have to be set up to make it happen. But then once they're in place, she kept saying, I do this a few minutes a day, I do that a few minutes a day, one day a week I go pay the bills. It's running like a well-oiled machine at this point. And so that once you get the systems in place to handle everything, you're only going to have to then contribute a few minutes a day, a few hours a week to keeping it up to date and keeping it from becoming a snarl again. So thanks for the great, successful example for us. We often talk about the things that are falling apart, so it's always fun to hear somebody share how they are making it work. Appreciate it.
Well, and knowing how much time she has to spend daily, weekly, annually, now she's kind of got that gives her the power to look at the backlog projects, the photos and genealogical materials, and say, okay, I can spare 10 minutes a day, or I can spare 2 hours once a week, or what, she knows how much time she needs to keep the day-to-day system going
Yes.
smoothly. And so
Yes.
she can budget some time for the backlog projects without it breaking the routine that's already working for her, which is important.
Yes, that is very important.
You have to keep the ongoing routine going the whole time you're dealing with any backlog, or you're just creating a new backlog.
Right, or else you're just building a new snarl on the corner again. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's her description was a very thorough one, but it showed all the aspects, all the facets of what how she's handling it and how she's made it work for her so that it's the least amount of time possible to keep it up every day. And that is awesome. Everybody strives for that point. And here's your example that it can be done. You can make it happen.
Catherine reports her old tax information that she doesn't need is gone, only kept what was needed.
Yay, good job. That's always a big cache of paper that everybody saves and is the most reluctant to let go of and keeps finding places to stash in their
Right.
house. And so when you're able to sort of accept and create some parameters around yourself about how to process that tax stuff and not keep it all, that's awesome.
Naomi says, I missed last week and didn't know what the tittle was, but I needed to show my current condo insurance. And while I did, I threw out all the paperwork for all the previous years of insurance.
Yeah, it's a super exciting one, right? Like
She did the
insurance,
tittle without even knowing she was doing the tittle.
right? And insurance has a set parameter, right? Like they have an insurance period, and when the period expires, that policy becomes useless because it doesn't mean anything to the insurance company anymore once it's expired. So you pay for coverage for a certain amount of time. When that time's up, then the coverage is gone.
Now,
And so,
if you've filed a claim
yes.
based on a previous policy that is not yet resolved, obviously you want to hang on to that until your claim is sorted out.
Yeah, till something is
But
clear.
any old ones that were in force for which claims are you never filed claims or the claims are all resolved, that can all go.
Yeah. And
When
so it's the parameter is super easy. It's defined by the document itself and the period
right.
of the taxes, I mean, of the
Yeah.
insurance. So super helpful.
Renee from Georgia reports, I have tried many times to tackle my bins of old paper. Every time I start making piles and get overwhelmed quickly trying to decide which pile to put things in, I always get overwhelmed and pile it all back in the container and put it away. We have heard the story before.
Right.
But she says, I have made much progress since your show last week. Having only two piles, a keep and toss was the key that I needed.
Oh, yay.
I've been through one big container and shredded two bagfuls of stuff. It was also very helpful that you said if you are not sure, just put it in keep instead of getting bogged down. The more I did the process, the easier it got. I have much more to do, but at least I've started. Thank you so much for bringing these podcasts each week.
Oh, you're so welcome. And that is a perfect example of clients often make this mistake of approaching processing the paper by thinking that they have to build the system as they sort, how they're going to file it, where it's going to go. And so they get really bogged down in how, what am I going to do with this piece of paper that I've decided to keep? And that sort of short circuits the process for them. And so going back to the base decision, which is, am I keeping it? Am I not keeping it? At least allows you to re reduce the volume. And usually for paper, that's a big, the no pile, I'm not going to keep it, is usually a really big one. And so it helps immensely to reduce the volume and to be the first pass Then when you're back again with when you're already gone through all of the boxes of old stuff and you've gotten rid of half of it or 75% of it, then you can take what's left and go back and sort it and start thinking about a system. But in the meantime, you will have reduced your volume immensely and your project will have shrunk, and you are not trying to simultaneously build a system and make keep toss decisions at the same time, which is how people get stuck. And so, good job. Glad it worked for you. Glad it got you past your log jam. The whole idea of sorting it all out and then giving it up and putting it back in the paper just makes me go, oh no,
Yeah.
that's got to feel disheartening. And so I'm so glad that you're able to get past it.
I totally get that impulse to act as if you already have a system. You know, you pick up a piece of paper and you sort of have a system in your head. I think that's where this tendency comes
You
from,
have an
is
idea
that we
of
have an idea in our head of these are the categories of things I'm going to keep. But unfortunately, it's probably not complete. And it probably also would have you keeping things that you don't really need to keep if you haven't thought it out. So it takes a certain discipline to just do the keep, toss, pass and not try to do the next steps.
And because it really that's a two-layer decision, right? Am I keeping it? I'm not keeping it. If I'm keeping it, what am I doing with it? And
Yeah.
so you have you sort of try to make all those decisions at the same time, and it really bogs people down. So good on you that you worked it out, made it happen.
Kara says, I did go through files, cleaned out old insurance papers, only kept the policy that is current. I looked
Yay.
at all files in one file drawer and immediately recycled papers as you suggested, and have a small bag labeled shred. Next is to figure out what big buckets I need and get rid of the A to Z files.
Yep, that would be more helpful. I think it'll be easier to find stuff that way. And good on you for getting rid of stuff and having a big bag of things to get to, recycle and shred. That's awesome. And isn't it lovely when it's a 20% of what it was when you started? It's always so much fun. It's like, ooh, all this old stuff is out of here now. That's great. I get a big satisfaction out of taking a big collection of paper at somebody's house and just making it all go away. It's my big fun for me.
Okay, Tammy reports, I didn't do it. I'm now cleaning a fridge shelf. I see my papers stack up. I feel too sad and frozen and frustrated right now, so I'm cleaning one shelf.
Hey, you know what? We all get stuck on our projects, and shifting to a refrigerator shelf is a perfectly reasonable thing to do. They both have to get done. They're both going to impact you and make it better for you. And so if you're in motion by dealing with the fridge instead, that's okay. That's totally okay. Take the win and move on. The paper's not going anywhere. You can get back to it when you're ready.
Anita says, I started my taxes, finally found all the pieces I need to bring to my preparer.
Yay.
I wonder what the best way is to leave those pieces for my survivors to do an estate return. I don't plan on dying anytime soon. We hardly ever do. I just don't know how anyone could do it without missing a lot of deductions, et cetera, once I'm gone.
So I would say that I would shift your collecting of tax items from collecting them all and finding them all when you are ready to do the taxes to collecting them as you receive them during the year. So create a bucket, a file, a portion on the shelf, whatever you want to do about that, a portable container, and label it this year's taxes, current taxes, whatever year you want to say. And as you receive things during the year that you know are going to be tax related, go and put them in the tax bucket so that if you're going to die, then you will have at least corralled all of the identified the things that are related to taxes. And that way, anybody can come and pick up the box and go, oh, look, here is mom's tax box. And it'll be full of things that are important to them. They'll have to figure out what's missing and they'll have to wait for the rest of the stuff to come, but it'll still be a start for them, for anybody. And we don't wish for you to plan for that, but I think, it's a reasonable concern. And Anita has her hand up. So what's happening, Anita?
Okay, let's and Anita, please make it as quick as you can because we don't want to
Just
spend
quickly.
too much longer on tax paper.
The way I put together all my stuff for donations and for other expenses is I use my American Express account for a lot of stuff. And then I go through and I mark them with markers, but I only do that at the end of the year. And that's where all the deductions come from, the medical, the charity. So should I be doing that like month by month? Oh, You could no. when it comes in, and it doesn't take as long to do one statement as it does to take 12, do 12, Good right? point. And so you can, when the bill comes in, part of your processing that bill can be to go in and make your appropriate marks up front. What a concept. Yeah. I'm going to leave directions for like where other things come from, like from Walgreens and from this doctor. But just And read. but and the truth is, everybody has the same. Nobody is going to be completely surprised about how to find your stuff, and while it will be a chore, they will be able to deal with it. So you don't have Okay. to teach them from scratch. They're at home doing their own taxes. They already know the basic concepts. They're You'll be smart. okay, Okay. Thank you. right? You're welcome. Okay.
Okay, one more on paper, and then we should get on to our main topic.
Okay.
Jane in California says the minimal mom also recommends time will tell bin. I think we talked about this before. She says this has been very helpful for me as things I can't decide about go in there. Periodically, I flip it upside down and pull old stuff out from the bottom, expired or no longer relevant.
Because, but the lower it gets in the pile, the older it's gotten, and the less precious it is at that point. So, and it's sort of like because you're in being indecisive about it, you can't make a choice in the moment. Then you sort of let time make the choice for you, and it slides beyond relevance, and then it makes it a little bit easier for you to let it go. I would learn from that, try to be conscious of what kinds of things are you waffling about. That then go into the time will tell bucket, and then 3 months later come out of the time will tell bucket and go in the trash and see where you're repeatedly having trouble making a choice and then letting time be the choice. And then maybe you can look at those things when they come in fresh and go, yeah, I always save this. And then it always gets thrown away 3 months later. I think I might be gonna do this, but I never actually do. I need to be real about this and let it go up front. Like you can learn from your experience of cycling through that stuff.
All right. Do you sweat the small stuff? Little things can cause some of our biggest organizing headaches. Spice jars, tiny bottles and tubes of notions and potions, jewelry, accessories, sticky notes, scraps of paper, the contents of purses. And all the various bits and bobs that collect in our lives and our homes. Today, we're going to offer strategies for corralling the collections of small items that present big organizing challenges.
We received this as a topic suggestion from a viewer, and I am sure that this person, Christine, has
Christine
been,
suggested this.
thank you, Christine, that she has been sorting things and ending up with a little pile of miscellaneous, I don't know what to do with it, small things. And that's the part that's kind of driving her crazy. And so we wanted to talk about that a little bit today. What makes small collections a problem to manage? So sometimes smalls are related. Like a collection of spice jars, if you imagine that's a whole collection, and all those little jars, and they take up a little bit of space, but they're not, there's a lot of variety in that small collection. But sometimes they're the leftover bits and the random accumulation of literal small stuff, like the contents of a junk drawer, where we throw all of the random, unrelated, this is little, get it off the counter, it goes in the junk drawer collection of stuff. Also, for any small collection of related things like spices, we want to be able to find the different versions when we need them. And like all the stuff in our homes, we want to be able to see it. We want it to be out so that we can see it. And so that means storage and access are part of the organizing process for these collections of small things. And for any collection, whether it's haphazard or intentionally together, the process is mostly the same. They represent the organizing process in microcosm. So even for these small collections, you still have to sort the contents. And for related items, you sort the items by the various types, like different types of nail polish. And if you're doing a nail polish collection, you're like, here, this is all top coat, and this is all base coat, and this is color, and there's cuticle treatments and whatever. So there's various types within the nail polish collection. For unrelated items, you sort by the items, and maybe you can create some big, use big categories to sort them. Or maybe it's really a bunch of completely unrelated objects that each need a solution to them. You need to, besides sorting, when your sorting is done, you still have to purge what's excess, what's unneeded, what's expired, what you don't want, because you know some of the stuff is in there and being ignored because you really don't want it. You just don't want to pull that trigger and throw it away. Medications, for instance, might have expired. Food might have, collections of spices might have expired. You may have things in there that you don't actually need or really want to use, and they've just, because they're small, they're easy to push aside without making a decision. And so they end up in a pile, in a junk drawer, in a corner, because they're little and they're easy to ignore. And so sometimes it's just stuff that you don't really need that you haven't taken the time to go, yes, that little object is not important to me. I'm going to throw it out. And then it's easy to make large collections of small items, so you end up with a lot of excess. And what comes to mind is samples of lotion. Like somehow when you go to buy makeup store, makeup, go to the department store, you're receiving gifts with purchase. There's a lot of little packets of lotion that show up, and you keep thinking, I need lotion, therefore I need to keep all these, and then you end up with 50 little packets of lotion that you never open.
Another one I think is really common these days is electronic small stuff.
Yes, cables
Little short cords and power blocks and
and changing from one type to another cords, you know, and oh my God, yes. That's so true. The endless tech accessory collection. The box of cords that no one wants to get rid of because it makes them too nervous, right? So there's always excess, there's always something you don't need, there's always stuff that is expired or that you just don't want. You don't really like it, it's not a flavor that you care about, whatever. It needs to go just because you would never use it because it's not your style. So you sort it, you purge the excess. Then you need to containerize the remainder, and you need to containerize it in a way that you can access everything, and then it's easy to put stuff back. So you have that whole process of it's not hard to pull one out and it's not hard to file one back. And so creating storage around that is important. Then you want to make them visible and searchable. That's what we're talking about. So make it so that you can see the bulk of the contents, and you can search through looking for what you want pretty easily. And then, particularly for small items, I think it's important to add labels if you need that help to locate the items. Because when it's a little flat packet and the lotion label says lotion in the tiniest little print in gray ink on, you know, like sometimes it's really hard to tell what it is that you have in your hand, and you have to find a big label. You have to find a little label to identify it. And so it does, the fact that it's small makes it hard for us to identify one against the other a lot of times. And so adding labeling into a small collection really helps you manage and work with the stuff better. It really seems like it's a huge amount of work to deal with the small items when everything is so little, and it seems so silly to do all the organizing steps with those little small items. But size doesn't matter here when it comes to dealing with little items. Your need to find and use them is the same as being able to find the pans in your kitchen. It's just easier to find the pans quickly because they're large and they're easily identifiable. You can make a visual scan of your cabinets in the kitchen, and you can generally see all your pots and pans without too much struggle, right? It's not hard to see that's the saucepan and that's the frying pan. It's easy to separate them. But for the small items, you need to focus closer on the items. And often you have to read labels to tell one from the other. The body wash packet and the lotion packet look exactly the same except for the label, right? And so you have to focus more tightly on something in order to see them. And reading those labels becomes important. So finding any one thing in a collection really requires a bit more focus. And I see that Anya has her hand up. What's happening, Anya?
I have one thing. I have a small powder room, and I did a mosaic, how you say that?
Mosaic,
And I had a shell on there that fell off. And recently I found it and I thought, wow, great, I can glue it back. And now I just can't find it for the life of me. That's me bonkers. Totally.
It's
It's like,
lost again. You found it, then you lost it again.
yes, I was looking for the Dana K white. Where would I put it first? Well, it isn't there. I don't know.
Oh, that's a toughie.
Stuff that is really, really bad.
We've all done that, right? We put it down and it vanishes into the ether when we turn around and look back. It's like, I just had those scissors in my hand. Where did they go? Like, I totally get that. So you may have to, say the Saint Anthony prayer, Tony, come on down. There's something lost that can't be found. I've done that before, but mostly it's that you go away and stop concentrating on it for a minute and then come back and think about it again.
I tried that several times already.
It's funny because it happens for my clients a lot that they lose stuff and they swear it's there, and like, I know it's there. I remember seeing it, and so I go hunting for it and I can usually find it. But sometimes I think it's because, and particularly something that little, like a shell, right? That's really small and it's pale. It's probably a very pastel color. And so it's easy for it to just sort of go into the landscape. It gets lost in the background. And you've probably put it somewhere, either you put it somewhere very intentional and sort of stashed it or hid it a little bit from yourself, thinking that that would help it stay safe. Or you put it down without thinking about it. If you're easily distracted, then maybe you put it down to pick something else up. And so that it ends up on a random surface that doesn't have anything to do with the item. And so you never think to look for it there. Think of, the keys that ended up in the refrigerator, right? Sometimes you just randomly put it down and it's not, there's no logic to where you landed it. And so how I go looking for stuff in people's houses is I really just, because I'm not super familiar with the landscape. It's not sort of a blended background for me because I don't live with it every day. So I can walk up to a surface and look all over the surface and see all the detail in a way that the person that lives there sort of washes over it without seeing all the detail themselves, because for them it's super familiar. And so I would concentrate on focusing on the surface and really seeing all the details of the surface in a way that you don't normally do because you think of it as the background, and go, looking at, here's the bookshelf, and is it sitting on the edge of a bookshelf? Here's the counter, and did it get pushed back against the edge? Here's the drawer, and did I drop it in the drawer because I was thinking that I would be able to retrieve it later? You sort of think of yourself as a detective who's looking at a crime scene, and you want to see all of the details in great detail level. And you can't do the whole house at once, right? You can't just wander around and stare at the whole house. So you have to, like, okay, today I'm going to look at this bookshelf and I'm going to make sure that I look at all of the surfaces to make sure it's not there and I can scratch it off and move on. And sorry, I hope it comes back to you soon. I
Yeah, that's a toughie. Sorry
know,
about
right?
that.
It's happened a lot. Well, and when I'm sorting contents, these little things are the kinds of things that pop up a lot with clients. Like, we go through the junk drawer and we sort it and we find this little, here's a little wheel. And somebody's like, oh my gosh, that came off of the blah, 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 blah. And I need to add it back on. And that's why it's in here. Okay, well, so then let's go do that. Like, there's always some little, this broke off of something. This belongs to a set. I don't know where the set is. I'm going to save the piece until I find the set. And then when they find the set, they don't remember where they stashed the piece. And so there is some need in our lives to have a bucket of, I need to match these things up with their friends, or I need to attach this back to something and not have it be a random thing in the junk drawer. It needs to be a collection of, I need to re it's sort of like the collection of unmatched socks, right? There's a collection of things that you need to rematch up with where they're supposed to go. And this happens a lot with game pieces. Like when I'm at somebody's house and they have kids, then there's always this random, here's three cards that go with a pack. And the mother always knows what game it goes with. It's always shocking to me. I will pull up these three random cards. I'm like, I don't recognize these. She's like, oh, yeah, that's the blah, blah, blah game. Okay, well, let's go find the blah, blah, blah game and put them back. And so, and particularly when you have kids in the house, they can scrambleize contents a lot. But we just randomly have these pieces that we need to come up with later to marry back to their original source. And having those things that you intend to reconnect or to remarry with their original source, having that collection separate from random stuff in the junk drawer means that you can then go search in that collection when you need the object. And sometimes it's just a matter of you need to glue that back on. Okay, let's go get the glue right now. Like I have it in my hand. Where's the glue? Let's go glue it and get the chore done. Instead of trying to find a place to park it, like we spend a lot of time stashing the object so that we can fix it later, and then we never go fix it. And so I also make my clients fix stuff so
Well,
that it stops being a random item.
this is that's one of the benefits of applying the 2 minute rule, the getting things done 2 minute rule. If a task is going to take less than 2 minutes, do it. When
Stop trying to hold on
as
to
soon
it.
as it pops into your head, do it instead of putting on a to-do list.
100%.
M says, my junk drawer has items that look familiar, but I don't know what they broke off of. Finally figured out that one of them was the non-skid bottom to the cat's water dish. And then conversely, I bet every household has at least one thing that's missing some little piece, and you're missing the little piece, and you wouldn't throw away the little piece,
So
but
what
who
happened to
knows
the little
where
piece,
it
right?
went. Yeah. In our
Where is
case,
that piece?
in our house, it's one of the four little rubber feet of our kitchen scale. It's
Right.
got four little feet, and one of them disappeared. Now
One of
that
them
probably
went.
just slid in under a counter or something because it's a very tiny thing. But
Right.
okay, sorry,
That's okay.
we've wandered.
Yes, but it's all related, right? So, I think about a junk drawer and how unrelated all the contents are. Unlike a spice collection, the stuff in a junk drawer is small and totally random. So sorting that creates a bunch of unrelated storage decisions that need to be made for a bunch of smalls. And I want to say that this is where the 80-20 rule applies. The concept that you get 80% done with 20% of your effort, and then you spend 20% of your effort getting 80% done. So these smalls
Thank
are,
you.
you get,
Yeah.
did I did it backwards?
I think you said the same one twice.
Oh,
But
well.
yeah, 20% of your stuff requires 80% of your attention.
Yes. It's like the little leftover, the little piece at the end requires way more time than it feels like it should. Like you spend an amount of time doing the bulk of it. And then you're left with the tail ends, the little leftover pieces, and managing that requires an equal effort. And it seems like it shouldn't require an equal effort, but it does. And that's how a junk drawer makes people crazy. When you go and sort a junk drawer and you dig through that pile, there is a whole bunch of stuff in there, and they are completely unrelated to each other most of the time. And that's why they're in the junk drawer. But when you start pulling them out, you realize that each of these little piles of junk that you have pulled out of your junk drawer, they each require different handling. They're each going to a different place. They each need a different system. And it seems like so much work to put into to deal with such a little collection. And I think this is originally the source of Christine's frustration, is realizing that, she gets down to the nitty-gritty, the leftovers. So you do all of the in a big sort process and in a big recovery work when you're working on a project in the house, you do a bunch of effort, you make a bunch of big decisions, you do a bunch of large sorting and corralling, and you make a whole bunch of progress. And then you're sitting there with this pile of miscellaneous leftover, that now is going to take as much work as all of the time that came before. And it seems ridiculous. And so I think we sort of shut down because it's like, why are these dregs at the end? Why is this stuff at the bottom of my glass being such a pain and taking so much time? And it's just, that's just the nature of the work, right? You get down to the end and it's like, well, we still have to stop and make a decision about each one of these little stupid things in order to finish this project. And I think people do the big effort and make the big fix, and then they don't want to then, they're like, okay, I'm tired. I've done all this effort and this is a little pile of yuck and I'm just going to throw it in the junk drawer, or I'm just going to throw it in a box, or I'm just going to stash it here. And the truth is, it represents a whole bunch of decisions that need to be made that seem like, you know, here, what do I do with this screw? What do I do with this one picture hanger? What do I do with this one little notepad? And so each of those needs to go to someplace different, and making all those decisions just seems like burning the midnight oil for no good result.
And hiding it in the case of small stuff seems like a kind of easy solution, right?
Yes,
You just put it
yes.
in a, well, I've got this little plastic bin that isn't doing anything, and so I'm just going to put all these little unrelated things in there and then stash it where I'll never have to see it. But even though you never have to see it, you're still going to see it occasionally, and it's going to nag at you, it's going to pick at you.
Yeah. Or it's just going to take up space that you need for something else, right? And so, yeah, it is a default, the system, to dump it in a container and throw it in a corner, right? So, you are making a choice, but then you're creating, somebody's going to find that, you're going to find that, or somebody else is going to find that container later and go, what is all this stuff? And then the problem is still going to be sitting there. So I get putting the, putting the stuff in the box, and hiding it is a system. It's just not a good long-term one. And I will also say that when you're working on a big project and you have made all this progress and gotten all of the big stuff out of the way and made some big decisions, and then you're left with a little pile of leftovers that are going to take a huge, the same amount of time, I would not then try to handle those in the last 10 minutes of your work project, your work day, right? Like the idea that you would then start to deal with those and take the same amount of time as you just took for the things that got done means that you're going to be burnt out quickly. And so
Yeah, your
recognizing that,
frustration level will be
yeah,
through the
come
roof.
back to this little pile later as a fresh, when you're fresh, and create an appointment for yourself just to deal with that pile. And then you'll have some decision-making capacity left, and you can think through, okay, here is a pile of pens. What would I do with the pens? Here is a pile of nails and hardware. What would I'm going to do with the hardware? Here's a bunch of leftover scrap paper. What am I going to do with that? And you can still go through the whole process that you normally do. You're just going to do it with this little bitty pile, and it's the only way that you will reach a resolution with the pile that about which you feel satisfied. Stopping at the end of a long work day, an organizing appointment or time slot, and trying to deal with the small things at the end in a hurry is just going to create stuff in a box that you put away, and it makes it irritating. And then you're going to find it later and it's still waiting there to have all the decisions be made. So recognizing that little pile that you made at the end of miscellaneous, I don't know what to do with it stuff, needs its own appointment. And then you can go back to it with a fresh mind and the ability to make a plan around all the little pieces. Small
Nice,
does not make it insignificant.
nice comment from D in the Sierras. D says, "Words matter. Call it the utility drawer instead of the junk drawer.
Oh,
Use containers to divide and categorize and label containers so all know what goes where."
And that's why you see all those inserts that are for junk drawers, right? That have a bunch of segmented trays so that you can then subset the contents of the junk drawer. And so the trick will be, we all throw things in the junk drawer indiscriminately, and then the drawer gets full. So it does require sorting all those little bits and bobs and using the containers that you have, the segmented boxes or the trays that end up in a junk drawer, and then making choices about what makes sense to be there and what got shoved there just to get that little small thing out of the way. And so, again, it's a sorting and decision-making process, just like any other project.
M says hiding things in a little container will also trigger the I know it's here somewhere because I just saw it syndrome during a frantic hunt,
Right.
but you aren't going to find it because you hid the little box from yourself.
Or the little box, you put it in a container, but then you didn't put any thought into where the container should be for it to be retrievable. And so that is part of the process too. Like if you think about, I keep coming back to nail polish because it's a good example, but makeup, craft supplies, they're all collections of small things that you need to be able to see and access. And so creating a storage system to hold the, here's where all the nail polish is, and here's the top coat stuff, and here's the base coat stuff, and here's all the polish, and here's the tools, and here's the lotions, the cuticle treatments, and separating them by type so that you can go into your nail polish collection and find the piece that you want. That process of segmenting the pieces apart and having them be in containers so that you can see them, it applies to any small collection like this. So it's going to be true for the spices, it's bathroom products, craft supplies, makeup, all of that kind of stuff. And then there's then there and then the utility drawer has the random collection of, I don't know where all these things go, I'm going to put them in here, collection of things. And that collection is way more random than the other stuff might be. And sorting it and finding out how many things are in there that actually require a system and need to go someplace else besides the utility drawer is important. And digging those out and making it happen.
I want to share a comment from Naomi at first, a trigger warning. It includes math. Naomi says the effort is asymptotic as the energy required to deal with the littlest and most random things approaches infinity. There comes a point when the appropriate category is just miscellaneous, and the organizing method is dump into a tub.
So I would aim for as small a tub as
Right,
possible,
right, right.
right? And that's hilarious and true. Like you don't want to make yourself insane. And that's what I did suggest when we were talking about bigger buckets of paper, that there's some paper that just needs to be a miscellaneous because it doesn't associate with a random, with a bigger bucket category that makes sense. And there's just one or two pieces of paper. And so there's going to be a miscellaneous category that needs to be true for everything. That's true. But sometimes you can say, this is miscellaneous sewing. This is miscellaneous hardware. Like you don't need to subset it
Right.
really, really finely, but you can still make a pile of this all looks like hardware and I can go put it in the garage with the hardware, right?
Right.
Without
I
making
think
yourself crazy.
that reality really underscores the importance of being thorough with your sorting. Even if you at some point you're going to throw up your hands and say miscellaneous and throw it in a tub, sort to the extent that you can. And you're going to end up with, one or two or three little things that don't go in any other
Anything,
grouping. And then maybe your container for the miscellaneous can just be, one of those little half cup Tupperware things.
It can be smaller, but like Anya's shell that she was talking about, that to me is this is an object. I have a collection of objects that need to be fixed or repaired or remarried with their sets. And so to me, that's a bigger bucket of things to reconnect, right? And so the shell that goes on the wall and the cards that go in the card deck and the missing piece of the appliance on the kitchen counter, the little foot off the bottom of the appliance, those three things are unrelated to each other, but they are all things that need to be reconnected with something else. So sometimes you can find a bigger category that will hold a collection of things together, and then you can go sort that bigger category and not remember what's in there, but know that in the bucket of reconnect is the shell that came off the wall, right? And so it's a way to you can still sometimes make those miscellaneous be sorted in bigger under a bigger umbrella with a bigger category, just like the bigger bucket concept for the paper files. Okay.
Do you have a category of small things that you struggle with?
That's a good question.
You don't struggle with beads. You have your beads organized to the nth degree. I know that.
It's true. It's very true. Yeah, that's the ultimate smallest collection, right? But it's also the perfect example of all the clear containers I have, all the subsetting that I have, all of the different, here's these kinds of beads and those kinds of beads and this kind of bead, and they're all in separate things. And yeah. Pat has her hand up. What's happening, Pat? Don't forget to unmute yourself.
Well, I have an older wooden silverware tray in my
Okay.
one drawer that fits perfectly. And it has one little section that's about 2 inches by 4 inches, which is too small for any type of silverware.
Yeah.
And that I consider that my kitchen junk drawer. So it doesn't hold much.
Right?
But I can
Excellent.
just, if there's loose change on the counter, just a little bit or something, I can, or a little part, just something, I can just toss it in there. And if it
In
gets
your
too full, then I have to go through it and get rid of stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. And because, I love that if it's 2x4, you said, like it's very
Yep.
tiny. So
Yeah.
that means that it getting full happens quickly, which forces the parameters force you to deal with it more often. And
Yes.
so that's a good thing. Frankie says hi, by the way. He has joined the conversation, apparently, having run in from somewhere. Say hi, Frankie. Yeah, he's up here like he's getting ready to jump back down again.
Linda suggested
Thanks, Pat.
maybe one in, one out would work in the utility drawer. Stick one thing in and pull and toss some really old thing in that has not proven to be useful.
Right? Yeah, and again, having it be small makes it easy to ignore the decision, and we always look at it and go, surely this is useful. I must need to keep it. I can just toss it somewhere and ignore it. And so, yeah. If you throw one in, it might be time to look at the collection and see what can come out. Frankie says, relax.
Naomi says, I recommend a dishwasher pod tub as the right size for the
Oh,
irreducibly miscellaneous category.
that's a
That's
good
a
one,
reasonable limit. Yeah.
right? That's probably like a quart, or maybe a little bit more. Yeah, that's a good idea. And if it doesn't fit in there, then, you have a different process to make. Thank you for letting Frankie interrupt us. He's moved along now. Okay. So I want to make sure that we get to the tittle. This week's tittle is sweat the small stuff. We want to, this week's assignment is to take control of a collection of small items. So select a set of related small objects that you've been ignoring or overlooking. If there's no such collection in plain sight in your home, then check the drawers, the shelves, and of course, the boxes of things that you've hidden, because you might find several caches of similar items squirreled away in different places. And from this, in this tittle, we're going to ignore paper. We want you to look at non-paper things. Collect all the related items you found into one place, large box bin or work surface, and then sort like with like. You may find things that already have an assigned storage location elsewhere in the home. So take this opportunity to move these items to their rightful place. Then make a keep toss pass through the remaining cache to purge anything that's expired or broken beyond repair, that's redundant or you no longer want it or need it. Get rid of everything that you can purge. And now that you've narrowed the collection down to the stuff you plan to keep, choose a container of appropriate size and shape to hold and display the collection so it's easy to find items and return them when you've finished using them. And one thing I didn't say earlier that I will say now is this is what segmented boxes were built for, handling small items to keep them separated and identifiable. And so, most often when you are trying to deal with small collections, you're going to end up with trying to use some type of clear segmented box. Now's the time to go find them. So do your small stuff collection and come back and tell us about it next week. We will be waiting to hear.
All right, we will be back next week, Tuesday, March 26th at the usual time. We're still out of sync with people who have not gone to daylight saving time yet. So remember, we're an hour earlier than the time you're used to for one more week, and then we'll all be back together again. We're going to talk about what do we do if we notice ourselves becoming more disorganized than usual. We're going to talk about warning signs that you're starting to lose your organizing edge. So join us next Tuesday for that.
And I want to throw in here and say, we have been getting downloaded by, the podcast has been being downloaded by somebody in Malta. So I want to say hi to Malta and thanks to whoever is downloading our podcast. We appreciate you doing that. I'm always surprised at what kind of countries show up on our country list. So this week it's Malta, and thank you for downloading our podcast.
All right. If you're watching this on YouTube, we'd love for you to join us live. To get notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by visiting cfhou.com/Facebook, or join our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We'd love to hear from you, so please keep your questions, comments, and topic suggestions coming on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere that you find us. You can always reach us through our website at clutterfairhouston.com.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate you. We're glad to see everybody. We're in spring. We're heading into spring. So I hope that everybody's getting their spring cleaning mojo on. We're going to dig into some of the piles and make some progress this year. Hang with us. We'll be here to support you. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.